Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Find that in your Bible. Thank you, John Tyner, and our choir and orchestra praise team, groups that joined them. How many of you have taken time to watch The Light of the World, that they put together and put out? Okay. A few of you, if you've not watched it, go to olivebaptist.org, find that, and watch it this Christmas season. It is our Christmas presentation for the year, and you'll enjoy that and share it with your friends. It's a great gospel outreach and wonderful Christmas music, as well as the gospel placed in it. So you be a part of that. Miguel's singing there. Leslie over here that was singing, she's singing on the top of the church building. And so you'll want to see her next to the cross. As good as I've ever heard her sing. I'm telling you, it was excellent. I think the best that I've ever heard Leslie, and she's always good, but she was high and lifted up and right on it, I guarantee you. So listen to that and find it. 2 Timothy, we're preaching through this book. Paul is writing to young Timothy, last letter he ever wrote. He's about to die. They're about to sever his head from his body. He's in a Roman prison for preaching the gospel. And he's writing to young Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus, and exhorting him. When he grows a little timid, Paul is saying, come on, come on, young man, let's go. There are things yet to do for the gospel. And what he exhorts Timothy with, of course, comes to us. We come today to preach a text about the text. We're preaching about the eternal Word of God. How many of you have a copy of the Bible with you today? Just raise it up and kind of wiggle it here to the pastor. You got your Bible? Good, good, good. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Glad that you've got your copy of Scripture. Now I'm going to ask you to stand while I read this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack there in front of you if you'd like to find 2 Timothy, or you can look to the screen and you'll find our text that is right there today, or open up your iPad, your phone, if you use that Bible app. And I'm going to talk about that in just a few moments and the usefulness of it. Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. This now is the word of our God. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All graphe, all Scripture is breathed out. Theonoustos is the word. Noustos, breath. Theos, God. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable, it's good for us, so that it will equip us for every good work. Father, I pray today that you would cause the Word of God to cut us like a sharp two-edged sword, cut away sin, bring healing. Feed us with the milk of the Word today. Many souls are starving for good news. Oh God, deliver it to us this day. Thank you for the Bible. Help us hear it this morning. And change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and be seated, please. Since the beginning of time, infidels have come against the Word of God. It started in the very beginning when Satan himself asked the question, has God said, casting doubt on God's Word? And throughout the centuries since, infidels have been firing away at the Bible, accusation after accusation after accusation, like shooting boiled peas at the Rock of Gibraltar. An infidel arises and attacks the Word of God and dies and goes to hell, and the Bible goes forward. Another infidel arises and attacks the Bible and he dies and goes to hell. Another infidel arises and attacks the Bible, and the Christ of Scripture comes alive to him and changes his life, and he becomes one of the great apologists of the Word of God. Happened to Josh McDowell. He said, I'm going to prove the Bible is not the Bible. And he ran into the author, and God changed his life, saved him, transformed him forever and ever. And he stands today preaching and teaching well into his 70s and giving the Word of God to the coming generation. Oh, the Word of God. Americans will spend every year $500 million buying scriptures. $500 million worth of Bibles purchased annually in America. It's the best-selling classic there is that few read. Everyone seems to have one, but few know what it says. I read that there are an average of 4.2 Bibles in every home in America. It's the .2 is the part they read. A little over 4 Bibles in every home. Of course, many of us have more than that. I posted yesterday on Facebook to announce my sermon topic. You may have seen it. 2 copies of Scripture. There are many others in the background, but I had my mother's red leather Schofield King James Version and my wife's father's little threadbare New Testament. Standing side by side, Liz's legacy from her father, being a great Bible teacher on the radio as well as a pediatrician, and my mother, that Bible came to me when we cleaned out the house, didn't know it, but it was given to the people to sell. It wound up in a store, and a preacher on Sand Mountain saw it, wanted to buy it, and he got it, and he opened it up and found my mother's name in it, called me, and he said, do you want your mother's Bible? I said, I have it. He said, no, there's another one. She had many, and he was hoping I wouldn't want it because he wanted it himself, because it was a soft, wonderful leather edition. And I said, I'd love to have it. He brought it and gave it to me when I was preaching. We hold dear the Word of God. But dear friend, it's not enough to have a Bible. You need to read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. By the way, right in the middle of this message, I want to say welcome to the Argos. I didn't say hello to you guys. They're our basketball team from University of West Florida with us today. Give them a good hand. Let them know that you're glad they're here. The Bible's infallible. I'm not. I was supposed to do that at the welcome time today. But I saw them and I thought I'd say hello. Read it. Read it. Read the Bible. Well, you ought to hear it preached. I mean, but that's not enough. I mean, I'm for you here to pray. If you didn't hear it preached, I'd be out of a job. You ought to have it taught. But the best thing you can do with the Word of God is read the Bible. Read it, read it, read it, read it, read it. Here Paul says all Scripture is inspired. Every bit of it, from the Genesis to the Revelation, all of it. Read it all, it's all inspired. Thank God for His Word. Now, I want to show you 3 things about the Bible today and implore you to read the Bible in the year 2021, and that you would read it all from Genesis to Revelation. It's a shame that you would say the Christ of Scripture is going to take me to heaven, but you've never read His book. I pray that if you've never read the Bible through, this next year be the year you read the Bible from cover to cover. Read it all. I'm going to give you a way of doing that, a plan, and how to be about finding Scripture and reading it all the way through. You ought to read the Bible. It'd be great to read it through every year, but if you've never read it, Let's plan to do it. But before we talk about reading it all the way through, let's look three things about that. Number one, I want to show you what I call the origin of the Bible. The Bible says about itself in verse 16, all Scripture is inspired. As I said, that is the word theonoustos, to be breathed out by God. God, through His own breath, gave us the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter said it like this, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Spirit of God moved men, moved holy men who spoke and wrote the Word of God. That's not a dictation theory, but God gives them. We believe in a literal interpretation of Scripture, and we believe in the plenary inspiration, verbal plenary, that God spoke, and He spoke it all, and He used John to write the way John writes, Peter wrote the way Peter wrote, Mark did not write like Paul, and Luke did not write like Matthew, but they all were moved of God and gave us the Scripture. Over 1,500 years, men wrote, 40 authors, 3 languages, and 1 message, that of redemption, that God loved the world and sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of all mankind. All the Old Testament points toward Him, all the New Testament looks back to Him, and we lift Him up and lift Him up and lift Him up. The Word of God is redemption, redemption, redemption. It is God become flesh and Jesus dying for the sin of the world. The Bible, the origin, is the breath of God. Now, many people will say, I don't believe the Bible, and people will attack it. These young men over at the University of West Florida, you take third-year philosophy, they'll attack the Word of God. They'll tell you it's not true. You'll find people saying that again and again. Not only will they do it in a secular university, they did it in a Baptist school where I was going. There were people. I learned more Bible in the biology department where I went to college than I did the Bible department. I had a godly old choir member, Brother John, that taught me Biology 101. He believed the Word of God. In the beginning, God created. They struggled with that over in the chapel, but Buddy in the biology department, he didn't struggle at all. He just said, you preachers need to understand, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can't get creation right, you'll never get redemption right. I've heard it 1,000 times right out of that professor's mouth. He blessed my soul. But there are people coming against the Word of God. I tell college students, and I gave this to Ethan Jago. Years ago, Ethan told me, he said, I remember that, Pastor, and I've incorporated again today into this message about the origin of the Bible. Just remember 4 little letters. They spell the word maps. If you read a Bible, you'll find maps over in the back and helps you understand the geography of the Bible. Well, maps help us understand the Bible. M-A-P-S, number one, M is for manuscripts. There's more manuscript evidence for the veracity of the Word of God than any other volume that's ever been written. Manuscripts, manuscripts, manuscripts. There are thousands of them. Pieces put together that you find in antiquity giving us the truthfulness of the Word of God. If you ever go to Israel, you must go to that place where they have the scroll of Isaiah. It is beautiful. It is all laid out that they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls where that little shepherd boy threw the rock, broke the bucket, went in and found the scroll of Isaiah from antiquity, and they took it, and here it was, and they rolled it out. Manuscript evidence. M.A. Archaeology. Archaeology is the second step. Every spade of dirt they turn in archaeological digs in Israel just simply proves the veracity of Scripture. For years and years and years and years, people said Belshazzar and Daniel. There's no way that Belshazzar was the king. It's not in antiquity and it's not in history anywhere, until finally someone put the right shovel in the right place and they found the inscription of King Belshazzar. And somebody said, well, I'll be done. The Bible's right after all. The Bible's not right after all. The Bible's always right. You just give it time, and I'm here to tell you, archaeology, every spade of dirt will open up the Word of God. P is for prophecy, the prophecies. 333 prophecies in the Old Testament about Christ alone, telling where he was going to be born, how he'd live, how he'd die, where he'd come from. All of that, 333, I mean, given to us, fulfilled thousands or hundreds of years before the coming of Christ. And let alone the prophecies of a thousand other things, just Christ alone is enough, but there are many, many others that we could explore. Manuscripts, archaeology, prophecy, and then S is for statistics. There are so many prophecies that there's no other way to statistically prove and statistically say that could have happened. The statistical evidence, the mathematical evidence is there that the Bible is what it says that it is the Word of God. You should read the Bible. It's the truth, greatest book ever written. It is the most trustworthy book ever written. As a matter of fact, it says about itself that it's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the soul and the spirit. In your soul, that's what you have, your mind, will, and emotion. But your spirit, he gets to where you really live or die. Oh, the Word of God, the origin of it. It is theopneustos. It is breathed out by God. But not the origin of the Bible. Second, let's see the purpose of the Bible. Look right here in our text. All Scripture is inspired by God. That's the origin. And it's profitable. It's profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, according to Matthew 4:4. This is the Baptist verse. Man does not live by fellowship suppers alone. You don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. It's what God says. That's what's profitable. And four things that it profits. Number one, it tells us what is right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's those four words. Teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. Number one is teaching. Tells us what is right. If you want to know what's right, what is the right thing, what is truth, read the Word of God. It will teach you. It'll not only tell you what is right, it'll tell you what's not right. Reproof. If there's something in your life that should not be there, come to the Word of God, and the Bible will put its finger on it. Now, most of the time, you already know this, and if you don't know it, ask your mother. But if your mother doesn't know, come to the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, it will reprove you. You ever thought you were right, then the Bible pointed his finger at it and said you're not right, and it reproved you? Doesn't take you long. You just have to decide, am I going to go the Bible way or my way? Well, I feel. It doesn't matter what you feel. What's the Word of God say? You check your feelings at the door. Then God will deal with your feelings. Teaching, what is right, reproof, what's not right, correction, how to get right. This is the repentance issue. This is where you have to change. How do I get right? What do I do? Well, if I have aught against my brother, I got to forgive him. And he shows us again and again and again how to get right. And in training in righteousness, this is all about discipleship. This is how to stay right. This is how you walk with God. Now, friends, you need to read the Word of God. Read it. And you say, well, preacher, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, let me help you. First of all, if you're going to read the Bible, get one. All right, if you're going to read it, you need a copy. All right, so get you. You say, I don't have one. Well, then just steal one right out of the pew rack. Just if you say, I can't afford one, just get one. There's one right there in the pew. Just take it with you. Amen. Do it. Just take it. You'll bring it back if you finally find you one. If you need one, just take it. So get you a copy. Secondly, get you a plan. A plan. Now, you can just start at Genesis 1:1, read right through. I don't recommend it that way. But it's not bad. Just read the Bible. On your phone, get the Bible app. The Bible app. Just go get the Bible app. Down at the bottom of the Bible app, it'll have five different icons. You can click on one of them right in the middle. Is plans, P-L-A-N-S, plans. You click on plans and several reading plans will pop up. The McShay plan is what I recommend for you, McShay. If you'll follow that, it'll take you to the Psalms once a day, the Old Testament once a day, and it'll take you to the New Testament. And if you will read through that plan as he gives you every day, you will read through the Bible. In 365 days, you will read all the Old Testament once and all the New Testament twice as you read through it. Just find a plan. Get you a Bible, get a plan, and then get committed. It's going to take a little time. So rather than watching SportsCenter three times, you just watch it twice. And then you read the Word of God. Rather than watching all the news shows over and over, or just get your lazy carcass up out of the bed 30 minutes earlier every morning and run to the Word of God and ask the Lord to speak to your soul. And when you do, don't be surprised that he begins to teach you, to reprove you, to correct you, and train you in righteousness. But you got to read it. You got to dig in it. Now, I suggest that you mark it, but you don't have to. But read the Bible. The purpose is to teach, reprove, correct, and train. But now, the third thing I want you to see, after the origin of the Bible, after the purpose of the Bible, I want you to see the work of the Bible. Notice it right here in verse 17, and you understand Scripture's inspired, and it's profitable. Why? Verse 17, so that the man of God, that doesn't mean the preacher, that means you, the person of God, anybody following God, it includes me, but it includes you, that the man of God might be adequate and equipped for every good work. Equipped. One translation says thoroughly furnished, like putting furniture in your house that you'd have every pot, every bowl, every chair, everything that you need. It'd be furnished. The word equipped is the same word that means to mend nets. When you throw a net, you get a hole in it, you have to bring it back and tie it up. That's this word, that you get everything ready, right in its place, equipped so that when you throw the net, you bring the harvest. Be ready for the Word of God, because when it comes into your life, it will do a work. It's equipped to do the every good work. There are many works that the Bible will do, but I want to point out three of them this morning. Number one, it will do the work of personal salvation. Notice back in verse 15 that from childhood you have known, he said to Timothy, the sacred writings which are able to make you, give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now listen. Everybody, listen right here to me. Listen, from the top row, everybody, from the top row down these sides here on the front, all the way, listen. Have you come to the place that if you were to die this day, 13 December, if you were to die this day, do you know that heaven would be your home? You say, preacher, I'm not going to die today. Do you know? Did you see it, boys, yesterday? I know you were playing, but did you see it? One of the leading players in America, freshman playing at the University of Florida, went in, dunked, went to the timeout, came back, and fell out on the floor. He's in ICU this morning. I don't know if he's going to live or die. You don't know. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you come to the place that you know God through faith in Christ? Jesus Christ came, lived, and died. That's why we put that mirror, that window up there. It's the gospel. Three crosses. Jesus died for you in the middle. A Baptist thief died on either side. Two malefactors. One of them is in the dark. He didn't believe. He died and went to hell. The other one has a shaft of light coming down. He did believe, and Jesus said, this day, he died that day, you're going to be with me in paradise. So, oh, Pastor, I got a long time. Tuesday, I stood right here and preached a funeral for a 31-year-old that 2 weeks ago had knelt at this altar, dedicating her third child to Christ. 2 weeks later, she was gone. You don't know. The next day, I stood right here and did the funeral for Mrs. Lewis, Marilyn Lewis, 88. She'd been fine, got sick, died. They brought me her Bible. If you die this week and your family asks me to do your funeral, I'm going to ask them to bring me your Bible. That's just my habit. Because I find out things about you when I read your Bible. Most people mark or put things in their Bible. Some people never read them. They just use it as a lockbox. They got all kind of junk stuck in there. Some people got their last will and testament in there. They just know when mama dies, you go get her Bible and you find what we get. Miss Lewis's Bible did not have one mark in it. Not one. Her sweet daughter said, "Pastor, mama just believed it was holy and you didn't write it." I said, "I understand." I took her Bible sometimes over in the front just to see who gave it to her or whatever. And when I opened her Bible, an envelope fell out. I said, "What is that?" She said, "Well, I was going to give you that." Said, "That's mother's last tithe check. She had it made out for last Sunday, but then she died and didn't get here." And she said, "I knew that was the only thing in her Bible, and I just want to give it today. Is that all right with you?" The last thing she did is tucked her tithe in her Bible. I said, "You really, do you want?" She said, "Yeah, what mother would want to do." So I said, "Well, as soon as you leave, I'll run it down the hall so we get it there. We hope it doesn't expire too, so we'd be good." And we laughed together and we put it in that big offering last Sunday. She gave her Bible, told a story. She hadn't written in it, but she stuck something in there that gave a testimony. 88, 31, that young boy at Florida. You never know. Let me tell you, the Word of God will equip you for personal salvation so that you can know that you know you know. If you were to die today or 20 years from now or 60 years from now, that Jesus is your Savior. And you say, "Preacher, what do I got to do in order to be saved?" Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that you're a sinner. Repent of your sin. Come running to Him. And he said, "Preacher, you know what I've done?" "I know. I don't know what you've done, but God knows, and His grace is greater than your sin. And He'll save you if you call on His name." And after you call on Him, He's going to ask you to go public. You saw that person up here being baptized, that young lady. He would ask you to go public and be baptized. Trust Him. That doesn't save you. That's just your announcement that He has saved you. The work He does is personal salvation. Secondly, He does social integration. The Word of God will do social integration, not only personal salvation. Look in Colossians, just back a few pages from 2 Timothy. Go to Colossians chapter 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You remember that, General Electric Power Company. Colossians 3 and verse 16, where the Word of God says, "Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness your hearts to God." Let the Word of God dwell within you. The context of this is family and community living. In verse 11, in the context of that, he says, "Be no distinction between Greeks and Jews, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave man, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Whether you're black or white or rich or poor, up and out, down and out, that we're all one in Christ." This is the social integration that the Word of God brings. We're to love one another. Everybody in this community. Verse 12, he goes on to say, "You've been chosen of God, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another." We're to put on our heart. It's what we do with the ministry village. Here's why we have the Cares House. We put our heart on that way, reaching out. I was having dinner this week in a restaurant downtown Pensacola. I tried to give a gospel witness to a lady who was waiting our table, and we began to talk to her, and I gave a tract, and she looked, and she said, "Olive Baptist Church." She said, "I know that church." I said, "Yes." And she said, "It's out by the hospital." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Interesting thing about that church. I thought, oh, Lord, what's coming here? She said, back during the hurricane, she said, we go to a church, and she gave me the name of it. She said, we had some problems and needed some things fixed, and Mother called our church to see about getting help, and our church said to call your church. She said, I think I'm just going to go to your church. I said, well, you're welcome to come. And I just had on a, you know, casual clothes. My picture was on that deal. And she didn't make the connection. I said, I think you'll like our preacher. She said, I hear he's pretty good. I said, he has good days and bad, but I said, he'll welcome you. You remember, whether they're Catholic or Episcopalian or atheist or nothing, our job is to put our arms around this community. It's what the gospel does. The government won't do that for you. Washington won't do that for you. Tallahassee won't do it. The gospel does that for you. The gospel's the social integrator. It's the gospel. No law can make you do what only grace moves your heart to do. It's what the Bible does. It brings personal salvation. It brings social integration. But thirdly, it brings national reformation. God knows we need national reformation. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Our nation is in a mess. There's a general poverty in the soul of America. We've taken so many wrong roads. We need a reliable road map, and that road map I hold in my hand right here. We need to bring a national reformation back to the cross, back to the Bible, so that righteousness is exalted. Not a party affiliation. We need righteousness. Righteousness. That's what will exalt a nation. Doing the right thing according to the truth of the Word of God. It's the work of the Bible. That's why we ought to be reading the Bible. That's why the Ten Commandments are on the doors of the Supreme Court. That's why when you stand in the well of the House of Representatives and look and see all of those faces, and you get all the profiles all the way around. But there's only one. There's only one face. He's back here, and it's full frontal. Isn't it, Bennett? Only one face. Moses. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Top 10. Old Moses is looking down, right there on the chamber. Plato, everybody else is there, but they're just profile. But there's two eyes from the great lawgiver in the chamber where laws are made, reminding us that's national reformation. Come back to the truth of the Word of God. I was just a kid preacher, senior in high school. My pastor took me to Dallas, Texas, to the Southern Baptist Convention. We drove over into East Texas. We stayed in the worst motel I've ever stayed in my life. From that day to this, I've never been in a worse motel. It was so bad that before we went to bed, the pastor and I pulled the chest of drawers over in front of the door. And I said, why are we doing that? He said, I don't know. I just feel better. He said, they can't get in. I said, yeah, but we can't get out. I'm not sure I slept a wink. We got up and drove on in on Sunday morning, and we went to the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas.
Dr. Criswell's the pastor, and he had asked that no members of his church come to church that Sunday. It was just visitors. We were all visitors from everywhere. I sat over against the wall in the floor. I couldn't get a bench. I sat, oh, that old man of God preached, Lord have mercy. We went, had lunch, went down to the Civic Center that night, 20-some-odd thousand there, and oh, he preached the Word of God. We stood in line. My pastor introduced me to Dr. W.A. Criswell, Wally Amos Criswell. I put my hand out. He took my hand. He said, lad, you're going to be a preacher? I said, yes, sir, that's my plan. He said, well, let me tell you, lad, never forget. And I did not know, but this was his favorite verse. Later I would read and know that it was. He said, never forget. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. He had me by the hand, looking at me. It's what he called everybody who's younger than he was, lad. Don't forget. I would later hear him preach, and I saw him one Sunday. He did this. I've wanted to do it, but I can't do it. He was preaching on the, and he threw his Bible out in the middle of the aisle. And he walked down, and he said, you need to build your life on the Word of God. And he stepped up on his Bible. He said, you need to stand on the Word of God. I've wanted to do that, but my mama's still alive. I fear God, but I'm scared of her, all right? If she saw me do that, oh, it'd be to pay, I guarantee you. But the picture is that that's where you need to put your life. Put your life on the Word of God for your personal salvation. For your social integration and for our national reformation. It's what you must do. I challenge you today, read the Bible. Then after you read, believe the Bible. Then live the Bible. When it says it, don't bat an eye, don't blink. Just do what God called you to do. If you've never been saved, God's calling you to get saved today. The Bible opens, Jesus says, come and I'll save you. In a minute, I want you to come. If you're listening on television or you're watching online, I want you to believe today. And then I want you to send me a text. I want you to send it to that 93,000 number. You see it on the screen. Just send me the word Savior. We'll reach back to you. We'll help you. Just text it to me, 93-000-SAVIOR. We want to hear from you. We'll reach back to you. We'll love on you. In this room, I'm going to invite you to come and just take me by the hand. Just stand right here with me and say, Pastor, I'm coming. Some of you here today need to join this church. Some of you online need to do that. You can write us, tell us, send to that same number. Let us know. You want to be a part of this church? Come and move your membership and be right here. Some of you need to come be baptized like this sweet girl was. All those truths out of the Word of it, you need to begin to take a stand. Remember, the grass withers. Just look at it today. The grass is withered. It'll come back. The flowers fade. God help the azaleas. They're so confused. They pop out in December and then go to sleep. Spring will come and they go back. But the flowers fade. They go. They fall away. This past week, remember we had six hours of winter? Got down to 30, you remember? Got down to 30 degrees, walked out there, and my wife, she got all those beautiful big elephant ears out there in the big place, and they were just, whoa.
The grass withers, the elephant ears fade. But the word of our God, it stands forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Yes. You need to read it, believe it, live it, take action on it. And that first step is to come right here and say yes to Christ. Come join this family. Be a part. The reason we have this pulpit in the middle, not over on the side. We don't make fun of people who do it, but there's symbolism in churches. The reason the pulpit is in an evangelical and a Baptist church here is because the Word of God is preached from right here. It's in the middle, and it dispenses to all we do. We don't relegate it to the side. It's right here. It's in the middle. Not the preacher, the gospel. It's high, lifted up, central. Eyes come to it. It's because you get to a church. You may not like the preacher. You don't have to like him, but if he expounds this book, you love him and pray for him. And if he doesn't, you leave him. You go find somewhere they open this book. Friend, our churches, our families, our nation, our schools are in a mess because we've run from the truth of the Word of God. All graphe is theonustos. All Scripture, breathed out by God. You need to get the breath of God in your life today. Get you a copy. Let's read it. 2021. Some people say, well, 2021 is going to be better than 2020. I saw a thing the other day. I said, you think 2020's been bad? Just wait till it gets drunk New Year's Eve and becomes 2021. You ain't seen nothing yet, all right? It can get tough. When times are hard, God is good, and He gives a song. I stole that from John Piper yesterday. I was listening to John Piper. He said, when times are hard, God is good, and He always gives a song. Dear friend, if you need a song, come run into Jesus. He will forever change your life. I'm going to pray. John's going to sing this song. This song says, decide to follow Jesus. And when we sing it, I want you to get up out of your seat. Come, stand right here with me. Come, deciding for Christ. Come to this place. They come crying out unto God, answering the call of God's Word. Father, have Your way in every heart, every life, every member, every prospect, every friend. Lord, from the top row of the balcony to the front row of this auditorium, God, draw us to Yourself. Run us to the Word that we might stand on it, that we might bank our life on the truth of Jesus Christ. We love You and praise You and ask for harvest now in Jesus' name. Amen.